Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we ask you that over the next few minutes, by the power of your Holy Spirit, through the hearing and the teaching of your word, that you be glorified. Father, that you would show yourself to us as worthy. Father, that we could be a people that proclaim that you are. Father, we thank you on this Good Friday. Father, that there is both darkness, but there is also a great hope. And so help us now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to tell you a story about hope and darkness in that order. I was probably about 13 years old, and for Christmas I got the greatest gift any 13-year-old who believes in professional wrestling could get. Tickets to one of the biggest professional wrestling events of the year. And so my uncle and I, we went up to Washington, D.C., and we ate Chinese food. And then we went to the big arena where they were going to do the wrestling match, and we got there 4 hours early. And so we started looking around a little bit. We found ourselves in a parking garage. We found ourselves in a back stairwell, and then we found ourselves in front of two doors with these little bitty cracks of a window in them, and we looked inside, and what was revealed behind the curtain were all the wrestlers. It was their dressing area, and I got so excited, and all this wonderful hope rose in me, and then I realized something. The darkness came on me because I realized that the wrestlers that were supposed to hate each other were hanging out together. What's wrong with this picture? All this great hope and maybe getting to meet my favorite wrestler, Sting, is met with the darkness of the reality as we peel back the curtain that it wasn't true. I saw the truth, and I saw it with my own eyes, and it changed everything. I stopped watching professional wrestling after this. Sad day. This scripture from Revelation is also a pulling back the curtain, a looking through the window and seeing the heavenly realities that we live in now as we exist in these last days. From the time of Christ coming and dying on a cross until his return are the last days in which we live. And the book of Revelation, though much ink has been spilled, is so simple that it shows us the truth of the things that we cannot see. And it lets us peek behind the curtain that we may leave changed as we think about both the darkness and the hope of Good Friday. Revelation 5. Follow along in your worship guide as I read this good news. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And John, I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or to look inside. And then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed, and he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." And then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went, and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased, you ransomed for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them into a kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. In this passage, we see a great darkness, and we also see a great hope. In these first five verses, we see that there's darkness and hope in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our failure, in the midst of our hurt. Look in verse 1. "Then I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne." This is God the Father sitting on the throne, holding a scroll with writing on the outside and the inside. Do you know what's in the scroll? People think, well, maybe it's the Lamb's Book of Life. It's got our names written in it. No. This scroll that he holds is the plan that God wants to set in place for this world, for redemption to come. This is the providence of God for a world that desperately needs our problem of sin dealt with. This is God's plan for his world, and it sits in his hand. And then someone proclaims, "Who is worthy to open it?" Silence. No one is worthy to open it. Could you imagine John, this old man who knew Jesus, hearing the silence? Could you imagine what it was like for him internally before he externally wept as he thought about the reality that there was no one who was speaking up, that there was no one who was saying, in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your anxiety, in the midst of not knowing what's going to happen next week, no one was worthy to take the scroll out of the Father's hands to execute his plan. You see, that's the reality of what's happening here, is that while God the Father holds the plan in his hand, it's not just to be opened up and read. Instead, it's to be opened up that God's plan might actually take root, that it actually might be on the move. Silence. And John weeps. Have you ever wept? Have you ever really wept? You see, crying comes from our eyes, right? But weeping, it comes from our guts. Weeping causes our whole bodies to mourn, our whole bodies to be exhausted. This is what it looks like to weep, and this is where John found himself. Have you ever wept at your suffering? Have you ever wept at your failure? Have you ever wept at the reality of sin in this world? And have you ever cried out, "Who is worthy to take this away from me?" And have you ever heard silence? Have you ever been confronted with the reality of sin in this world that breaks this relationship between us and God and the consequences of it? You have. And I have too. There is great darkness in our suffering, but there is also great hope. In the last part of this first section, it says, "Then one of the elders said, proclaimed to John, 'Do not weep.'" There's a proclamation of something happening here. "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Messiah has triumphed, and he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Has the gospel ever tenderly met you in the midst of your suffering? Has it ever been proclaimed over you in the midst of your heartache? Has the gospel changed your life as you've heard the good news proclaimed?" That's what's happening. As John hears that the Lion of Judah, this King of Judah, this Messiah, this power is coming and has come and is able to open the scroll, is able to execute the plans that God has called him to perfectly. You see, there's darkness in suffering, but there's also great hope in suffering. There's darkness, and there's hope in death as well. Look in verse 6. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain. I wonder what happened inside John as he read this, as he saw this, as he wrote this. I wonder what happened when he was confronted with this great proclamation of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Messiah that would come and make all things new and all things right. And as he creeped in and as he looked at the center of all of heaven, he saw a lamb. And not just a lamb, but not a lion. And not just not a lion, but a lamb as if it had been slain. I wonder if he was tempted, like you and I are, to think this is not enough. I wonder if he was tempted in his heart of hearts to think that the gospel is not enough. I know you've been there. I know I've been there. I know that in John's life, he had been there. And as he looked, this is what he was confronted with. And in a sense, there's great darkness in those times when our own sin and our own failures and our own brokenness keep us from actually believing the good news of the gospel that we so desperately cling to. There's darkness in death. But friends, there is also great hope. And that is why we are here on this Good Friday. The story continues by telling us that he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Sometimes I play a game with my little girls where I hold something in my hand, and they try to come and get it, and guess what? They don't ever win until I let them, until I want the game to continue, until I want to move on to the next thing. And I find great joy in the idea that they took it from me so that the game can continue. This wasn't God the Father playing a game with Jesus the Son. Rather, it was God the Father's plan all along for Jesus the Son, who was worthy to come and to take the scroll out of his hand. He took the scroll out of the hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. When he just took it, there was worship. You see, there is hope in the midst of death. Look at the song that they sang. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Jesus, Messiah, you are the one who is leading the charge for God's chosen people. And why? Because you were slain. Friends, there is hope in death. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. Do you see the hope that flows from the drops of the blood of Jesus? You ask why the church is growing in China in the midst of persecution. We ask why the church is growing in Africa when they don't have the buildings or the technology that we have. Friends, it is because of the blood of Jesus that the church goes forth. It's why our churches go forth. There is darkness, but there is hope in the midst of death. Verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s, they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, they said two songs. They sang two songs. They show us that Jesus is our Savior. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And they sang another song that shows that Jesus is our Lord. To Him who sits on the throne, God the Father, and to the Lamb, God the Son, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. You see, there's also darkness and hope in the waiting, which is where we find ourselves on this Good Friday. Perhaps you look down at your watch and you realize it's almost time to go, or perhaps your kid needs something and you clicked back into reality, or maybe it's not as comfortable as you want it to be in this seat right now. And so as much as we love to glance in at the throne room of heaven, we also are very aware that we are not quite there yet. That we are living in this not yet, and we so desperately want to see Jesus in heaven where there will be no mourning, where there will be no hurt, where there will be no pain. And so, yes, there's darkness as we wait. The darkness of our sin, the darkness of our family troubles, the darkness of jobs we don't get, of houses that don't sell, the darkness of not getting what we want as people who desperately try to please Jesus. But friends, there is also great hope. All of Scripture points us to this picture of worship in heaven to the Lamb that was slain. Is anyone worthy? He is. Is anyone worthy? He does. The Lion is on the move, and the Lamb's blood is on the throne. Let me pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Father, I pray that as we sing this last song and as we leave together, Lord, that we would feel the darkness of today, but that, Lord, we would also feel the hope of today. Father, I pray that no one in this room leaves thinking they have to wait until Sunday to find hope. Father, but that they can cling to the old rugged cross in knowing that your blood is working, that we are forgiven, and that the gospel is true. Amen.